Well, once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. We're talking about your authority in Christ. As you go to minister the gospel, we'll take up this message here in just a minute. I want to give a brief update about what is happening here in Africa. In exactly 1 week, we're going to be leaving for Tanzania, for Dar es Salaam, the capital city, 6 million people on the coast of Tanzania. And we have a crusade planned there in Dar, and we are looking forward to going there. Bonnie Mwitege, great worship leader we've worked with in the past, is going to be our worship leader there, and we heard from him last week. He said he had 17 singers and choirs already lined up in Tanzania to go at the crusade, and so this is going to be an extravaganza in the spirit realm. It's going to be an explosion of fire in the spirit realm, and so we're looking forward to that. We pray that you would come alongside this venture, come alongside this mission outreach, and that many would come to know the Lord, many would get healed, many would get saved and delivered, and so you can be a part of this. If you stay tuned to the end of the broadcast for contact information, you can be a part of this great crusade. And then secondly, I want to give a shout out to the people in the USA, part of the Team USA, who came here to put on the Encounter Conference, came here to Kenya, and we are very appreciative of their work, for their prayers, for their provision, for all their good nature. They're putting up with a lot of shortcomings here and a lot of difficulties in travel regarding COVID virus and regarding transport and logistics. All those things are a bit of a challenge here. And COVID virus, of course, they had to have it to come into Kenya. They had to have it to leave. And so we just thank the Lord for a successful mission. And we spent 3 days, the last couple of days, down at the Masai Mara looking at the big animals. And the Lord blessed us. We saw lions. We saw two rhinos standing out in the field by themselves. And we saw lions and cheetah and giraffes, elephants, and about a million wildebeest and impalas and zebras. And so it was a great mission, and I thank the Lord for that encounter group and for their zeal for the Lord. We'll be embracing them and doing more in the future with that encounter group, and so we look forward to ministering with them in different ways here in Africa and also in the USA in the days to come. Well, we're going to be talking about your authority today. And I want you to know, some of you maybe are in a place where God is calling you to go higher. God is calling you to do something great for the kingdom. God is calling you to submit to Him, sacrifice more, and you may be reluctant, you may be hesitant, and you don't know if you have the authority to do what God is calling you to do. You don't know if you have the ability, the anointing, all of these things come into play when God calls you to a higher place. But I want you to listen to this scripture, not only for those who feel they have a great call that has been placed on them by the Lord, but maybe you're just a new believer and you're saying, well, what do I do now? Where do I go now? Or maybe you're not even a believer yet and you say, well, what does God have for me if I come into the kingdom? What does God have for me? What is going to be the expectation on me? And how do I fulfill the expectation, not only to God, but also to myself? And so all of these questions come into play when you become a believer and when you submit to the Lord and you say, okay, Lord, here am I. Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? And so as you submit to Him, then God will reveal His perfect plan to you. Well, Matthew 28, verse 17, this is Jesus talking to the disciples before He ascends into heaven, and He is resurrected at this point. He's risen from the dead. He's resurrected. He's giving instructions to the disciples, and it says in verse 17, and when they saw Him, when they saw Jesus, they worshiped Him, but some doubted. Well, take note of that. Some doubted. Even after walking with Jesus, even after seeing all the miracles, the feeding of the thousands, the first miracle that He did where He turned water to wine and raised people from the dead, even after all these miracles, some people doubted. And so you're going to have some doubts in your life. Maybe you have doubts right now and you don't know where to turn to deal with your doubts. And I just say, keep believing, keep believing, keep asking God to show himself true to you. Keep asking Jesus to show himself true to you and pray to him and say, Jesus, here am I. Show yourself mighty to save. Show yourself mighty to deliver me. Maybe you're struggling with addictions. Maybe you're struggling with sin in your life, or you're struggling with confidence or envy or lust or whatever. Ask God to deliver you. Ask Jesus to deliver you and let him show himself powerful to you. Let him show himself mighty to save, mighty to deliver, all those things he promises. And then keep studying your Bible. That's one thing I would really encourage you to do. If you are a doubter, keep studying your Bible, keep reading, and those parts that you understand, those parts that speak to your heart, speak to your spirit, be obedient to those parts. And as you're obedient to those parts, then Jesus Christ will give you more. He will encourage you in more ways. He will give you more. He will draw you closer to him. Submit yourself to God. Draw near to him, and he will draw near to you. And so as you submit to him, then God will reveal himself. So here are these men, even after years of walking with Jesus, and some still doubted. So don't walk away from the kingdom. Don't turn your back on God because you have some doubts. Just keep seeking him. Keep asking him to show himself, and he will be mighty to save. He will show himself to you. And so in verse 18, then Jesus starts to speak to them about authority. Why did he want them to know about authority? Because he was getting ready to leave them. He was getting ready to send them out, and he needed them to know that he was giving them the authority to do what they needed to do, and they would be acting in the name of Jesus Christ. They would be going out in the name of Jesus Christ. When the sheriff or the commander-in-chief sends his soldiers out and sends his deputies out, they have authority because they have the badge, they have the uniform, they have the gun, whatever the tools of the trade are. They have those things, and they have the authority. It's written on their badge. It's written on their uniform. It's written on the side of the car. They have the authority to act in the name of the commander-in-chief, or in the name of the sheriff, or in the name of the director of their agency, whatever it is. And so it is with Jesus Christ. When we go out, we're not just going out in our own name. That's why we pray. We ask the Father to answer our prayers, and then we say, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen, amen, amen. And so we're not just asking for our own self. We're not asking for our own kingdom. We're not going out on our own authority and just winging it and doing our own thing. We have the authority to act. We have the authority to lay hands on people. We have authority to raise the dead. We have authority to heal the sick. It has been given to us by our Lord and our Savior, our commander, the Lord of hosts, Jesus Christ. And so when you are going out in his authority, you know you have the power, you know you have the backing, you know you have the ability to do what he asks you to do. And so whatever God is asking you to do, some of you have a powerful call on your life. Some of you, you're backing away from your call because you're afraid. You don't think God is going to be there when he asks you to go someplace. You don't think he's going to be there when you get there. Some of you have been called to do missions work. Some of you have been called to do marketplace evangelism. Some of you have been called maybe to preach or teach or whatever. Don't back away from your calling. God has given you the authority. He will equip you as you go. God doesn't call the equipped. He equips those who are called. And so when you are sent out and you have the authority of the commander-in-chief, you have authority given to you by the Lord Jesus Christ, you know that you have the authority you need to get the job done that he is calling you to do. And so Jesus talks to them about authority. He said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Well, it was given to him by his Father, Jehovah God. That authority then he transfers to the disciples. And he's saying to them, just as he says to us, because we are now his disciples. We are standing in the same anointing. We are standing in the same place as those original 11 at this point, because Judas was out. And so he says, now, after you've been given authority, the first word he says in verse 19, he says, go, 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 therefore. So he didn't say, you've now got authority, and now you can become an anointed couch potato. You can become an anointed whatever. Maybe you're stuck in a rut in your job. Maybe you're stuck in a rut in your family. Maybe you're stuck in a rut in your church. Jesus doesn't want you to stay stuck in a rut. He says, go. He says, go. I have something greater for you than you know now. I have something higher for you than you have been called to do now. It is the glory of God to conceal a matter. It is the glory of kings, or the glory of men, to search it out. God will never be finished with you. He wants to draw you out, take you higher, command you to go higher, command you to take more territory for the kingdom. The government of Jesus Christ shall never end. And so he wants you to go, therefore, and do this. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Well, let's look at that. He wants you to go to the nations. And you may say, well, that's just for missionaries. No, where did missionaries come from? They come from people who were sitting in the pews. They come from people who may have been in the drug dens. They come from people who may have been in the prisons. And so you can't just say the evangelists come from just the evangelists. No, they don't come from just the evangelists. They come from people. They come from every walk of life. Billy Graham was a backwoods North Carolina boy. I don't know the whole story about Billy Graham, but one time he was probably running around in the backwoods of North Carolina barefoot, maybe whittling on a stick. I don't know what he was doing. But I know this, he became a great evangelist, and he became a great teacher. And over the course of his years of preaching in crusades and gospel revivals, millions upon millions, hundreds of millions, some people even say maybe a billion or more people came to know the Lord Jesus Christ because this backwoods North Carolina boy had a hunger for the gospel, and he had a zeal and a desire to share the good news of the gospel with people all over the earth. And he traveled to many countries, I don't know how many, and shared the gospel in crusade and revival settings for 40 or 50 years. The same is true of Reinhard Bonnke. Some of you may have heard of Bonnke. He was a German missionary here in South Africa, a little country down by South Africa, and unknown to the world, unknown to anybody but God. He had a small mission. He had been sent there by some churches in Germany. Well, at one point, God gave him a vision of the continent of Africa, which is now 1.1 billion people or 1.2 billion people. God gave Reinhard Bonnke a vision of the continent of Africa, and it was washed by the blood of Jesus. And the Lord spoke to Reinhard Bonnke and said, Africa shall be saved. Well, beloved, nobody knew if Reinhard Bonnke was going to hold crusades. The only person that knew was God, but he put this vision in Reinhard's heart, and he started organizing crusades first in Zimbabwe and then Zambia and in Lesotho and down in southern Africa. And over time, Bonnke moved up into northern Africa, to Nigeria and Ivory Coast and all of those countries, Congo, those countries over in western and central Africa. He eventually came over here to Kenya and Uganda and Tanzania, and many, many countries in Africa were blessed with the crusades of Reinhard Bonnke. And 72 million, when Bonnke passed away a few years ago, 72 million people had come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, had actually filled out registration decision cards saying they had accepted Jesus Christ. They had been followed up on by pastors, pastors had taken them into churches and discipled them, followed them up, and all because this one young man from Germany with his wife was obedient to the gospel, and he went under the authority of Jesus Christ. Some of the meetings that Bonnke had in Nigeria, over 1 million people came to know the Lord in one series of meetings, in one series of crusade meetings in places in Nigeria, and over a period of about 2 or 3 years, probably 10 to 20 million people, maybe more than that, came to know the Lord Jesus in the country of Nigeria. And so, as Jesus gives authority, he gives power, and he gives direction, and he gives anointing. All of those things come. And Jesus told the disciples, which is now us, he said, "Go unto all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." And so we're told to teach, teaching them, verse 20, "to observe all things I have commanded you, and lo, I will be with you even to the end of the age." And so Jesus promises to be with us. He says, go and teach, and then baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe all that I have commanded you. In other words, teach them the gospel. Teach them everything that I've taught you, said Jesus. Teach them the full gospel. And when you do that, then God will bless you, and he will anoint you, and he will protect you and guide you. And so some of you, again, are sitting on your anointing, and God is saying to you, go. God is saying, don't sit on it any longer. The time is getting urgent. The time is getting short. The days are short when the Lord's return is coming. And so we need to be about the Father's business, and we need to be teaching, we need to be baptizing, we need to be going, and we need to be sending, because that is the urgency of the hour we are in. Okay, so we're going to look at another scripture here in Luke chapter 10, and in this scripture, this occurs chronologically a little bit before when Jesus was talking to the disciples in the last scripture that we looked at in Matthew. Jesus is sending out the 70 that he has appointed, the 70 disciples, and he's saying to them in Luke 10, verse 1, "After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also, and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go." In other words, this was the forward charge. This was the forerunners before Jesus went into these cities. He sent these people out two by two to stir up the fire to present the kingdom of God in these cities. And so this scripture will tell you what you need to know about when you go. It tells you, of course, the whole New Testament, the whole gospel does that, but this also is an illustration to you and to us of what is involved in going in the name of Jesus Christ. So in verse 2, he says to them, "The harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." And so Jesus said, there's many out there that need saving. There's many that need healing. There's many that need deliverance. And the same thing is true today. There are millions of people that don't know Jesus Christ as Lord. There are millions that have never even heard about the gospel. They've never heard the good news of Jesus Christ. And so they should be a burden on you, especially you believers. They should be a burden if you have experience in the kingdom, if you've been a teacher. God is placing a burden on you to reach these people who don't know Jesus Christ. Maybe they're in your family, maybe they're in your organization, your secular organization. Maybe you teach with them, maybe they're on your block, that you met them at a block party. I don't know, but there are people who don't know about Jesus, and if you do, you have an obligation and a burden on you to share the gospel with them. And so he says, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. This is Jesus' harvest, but he's not coming back to harvest them. He expects us to do it. He gives us the tools. He gives us the equipment. He gives us the power. And so he expects us to bring the harvest in. He said, go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. It's not going to be easy. These people aren't going to just clap their hands and jump for joy when you show up. Some of them are going to oppose you. Some of them are going to violently oppose you. Some of them will curse you and spread rumors and gossip about you. And so just get used to that, because you're going out in a pack of wolves as a lamb. And so he says here, carry neither money bag nor knapsack nor sandals, and greet no one along the road. In other words, keep your focus on the kingdom. Keep your gaze on what you're about to do. Keep your gaze on what God has called you to do. Don't get too friendly with the people in the area where he sends you to go. And verse 5, whatever house you enter, first say peace to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on it. And if not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house if peace is in that house. He says, remain in that same house, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the labor is worthy of his wages, and do not go from house to house. And whatever city you enter, and they receive you, eat such things as is set before you, and heal the sick there, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. But whatever city you enter, and they do not receive you, go out into the streets and say, the very dust of your city, which clings to us, we will wipe off against you. Well, what he's saying is, if you find peace, if you find a welcoming reception in a house and in a city, stay there and preach. But if they reject you, and they curse you, and they revile you, and they persecute you, he's saying, go out of that city, wipe the dust off, kick your feet together, kick your sandals together, and wipe the dust off of your feet. Let that city go, and the judgment of God will be on that city. Well, God is calling us all to a higher place. He's calling us to go and tell these people that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And beloved, the kingdom of heaven is at hand today. It's very much at hand. There's an urgency about sharing the gospel. There's an urgency about sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. And if you're not part of that urgency, if you don't feel that urgency, then there is something wrong with your walk with the Lord, because God didn't call you to be comfortable. He called you to be anointed, he called you to be powerful, and he called you to go in the name of Jesus Christ. Well, I'm going to close here in Matthew chapter 16. Turn back to Matthew 16, and this is what you can expect when you respond to the gospel and you go in the name of Jesus. This is what you can expect. Jesus said in verse 24, Matthew 16, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? And so God is calling you to take up your cross. When Jesus went to the cross, he didn't ask for special favors. Yes, he said, Father, if this cup can pass from me, let it pass, but thy will be done. Father, I'm ready to submit. If this is the only way, I'm ready to submit to you. And I will take what is coming with the agony of the cross, with the suffering of the cross. I will take what is coming, and I will take it with joy. Paul tells us that Jesus willingly and joyfully was obedient to the cross. He was obedient to the plan of God for his life. And beloved, I challenge you today, be obedient to the plan of God for your life. Pray about your part in supporting this ministry. Pray about your part in going yourself or in sending people that are spreading the good news of the gospel, people that are preaching crusades, people that are taking care of orphan children or widows, Pray about your part in that, and God will take you to a higher place, and He will bless you when you submit to Him. Maybe you even want to be a missionary yourself. God will call you, and He will supply you. He will empower you. He will anoint you. Everything that you need will be given to you for the gospel's sake. Well, beloved, Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We thank the Lord for that, for the many years that we have enjoyed bringing these broadcasts to you. But we invite you to partner with this ministry. We ask you for your support, for your prayers, for your financial support. We'd like to hear from you. Sit down today. Write us out a check. Let us know you're listening, that you want to support these crusades, support this ministry. You can go to the website, or you can go to PayPal and make a donation there. And you can go to the website, gattheroutcast.com. And so we appreciate you. We want to hear from you. And we thank you for listening today. Stay tuned for contact information coming up at the end of this broadcast. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.